Hello, everyone, and thank you for coming, and thanks for pronouncing my name right. I'm Sabir Ismaili, and today I'm going to talk about a new tool that we're developing for pest monitoring in greenhouses at UBC. You all know that we have different tools and techniques for pest monitoring that can tell you whether you have a pest in your field, at what level the population is, or sometimes you have models that can predict you when you might have an outer pest outbreak. But if you want to exactly locate your pest in a field, most of the time you have to go inside the field, turn the leaves, and find them. It's a little bit difficult. The result might not be persistent due to personal differences and different level of experience. And sometimes, just like my Canadian fellow just mentioned previously, people don't bother to go out because it's hard. So what I wanted to do was to develop a tool that can help pest monitors in the field to more precisely and more accurately locate their pest within the field. I used a very well-documented biological phenomenon as a basis of my technique and tool. You all know that some plants emit chemical volatiles when they're under attack by herbivores, and that's part of their indirect defensive mechanisms. And there are lots of evidences that predators also use these chemical cues to locate their prey. So what I thought was, if you have a system in place that can detect these chemicals and understand what information they're carrying, we might be able also to use these cues and locate our pest very soon, at the earliest stage, before the pest become visible to the scout's eyes. So the first step was to collect and identify these volatiles. I used two techniques, in fact. One is a very conventional method of collecting volatiles in volatile chambers and absorb them in super Q filters and simply analyze them by gas chromatograph mass spectrometry. So here you see one of my results that came from tomato plants infested with cabbage looper, Trichopsia knee. So you can see there is a huge difference between the volatile profile of infested plants, which is the red chromatogram here, compared to the clean plant. Once we did that and identified the indicator volatiles that can tell us about pest presence, I used a relatively modern device, an ultra-fast portable gas chromatograph, Xenos, that enabled me to go to actual experimental greenhouse and take rapid samples and measure and detect and follow these chemicals of mine. The Xenos can relatively analyze a sample in less than a minute. So we could do many experiments using this system. We used this whole combination of these two techniques to collect volatiles from three plants, tomatoes, cucumbers, and peppers in greenhouses. And we did different type of experiments and looked at the response of the plant to different situations. For example, different geographical distribution of pests in different parts of the canopy. Or we put individual pests on the plant and compare it to mixed infestation, which is usually the case in the field. And we also look at different damage type of the pest, like some pests have different feeding behavior and different moss parts, so they produce different type of mechanical damage. We wanted to see if the plant can respond differently to that. We also look at damage duration and simply removed our pest from plant after a short period of damage to see if plant can recognize that the threat does not exist anymore. So you'll see the result of this in the papers that's soon coming out of our lab, but today I'm going to talk about one particular experiment for the purpose of this talk, where we look at different density of insect on the plant. So in this particular experiment, we had plants with no insect as control, one single larvae, 3 and 9 at different density levels, and we look at the profile of the volatile changes, 1 hour before infestation as a positive control, and then 6 hours and 12 hours and 24 hours after. And you can see our setup inside the greenhouse, and we used the volatile grade bags and the Xenos, of course. So here is an example of the patterns. We saw different patterns. Here, for dendrolysin, you could see like there's a gradual increase in the amount of volatiles over time, with higher amount of volatiles in higher densities of the plant. While for osamine, for instance, we had a period of delay, then a big burst of volatile within 12 hours and 24 hours. Now, although it's a very beautiful biological observation, our main purpose was to see if we can use this volatile data to get some information about the pest. So we analyzed this data with linear discriminant analysis which is a basically supervised learning method to develop LDA training functions. This particular function been developed for beta caryophyllene, and it meant to classify the plants based on the level of the volatiles into groups of clean and infested. Now this one, in fact, 100% correctly classified our plants. In another word, we could go to our greenhouse, measure the caryophyllene, put it in this function, and it would tell us if the plant is clean or infested. So, bingo. But it was not that easy, because I know that there are lots of variables that can change the volatile emission rate, and there are lots of environmental factors that affect the whole system. So we take it to the next level. We went to actual commercial greenhouse, and we not only collect the volatiles from plants throughout a full growing season, but we also measured environmental factors like temperature, moisture, light intensity, airflow, and some plant-related measures like surface temperature. And we also perform a full pest monitoring scouting on plants that we carefully mark with GPS. And we did it for one full year. The reason we did that was because we wanted to use this information to develop robust pattern recognition models. Here's an example of one of these models. It's a base net that allow you to incorporate lots of environmental factors that affect your volatile emission, as well as some plant-related factors that also have effect on the volatiles, and some practices that change the environment of the plant. And this is just an example of the models that we're using. We have so many options and we're still working on it, but ultimately, this is what I want to do, and this can summarize my talk. I want to develop a system that can harvest information from the environment, because I think the idea of just going in the field and looking for the pest or its symptom might not be enough, but not be adequate. We can harvest more information from the field. And if we have a machine to do it for us, it could be more objective as it can be with the human scouts. Besides, the kind of experiences that the human scouts can obtain throughout the years is practical, and it's really difficult for them to convey it to another person, while the data that you collect with this kind of system can be reserved in a database and can be accumulated, and we can always use it to improve our model. Another thing about this is we do not have to limit ourselves to the human abilities. We can attach any kind of exotic sensors and get all kind of information from our system. But the thing is, I'm not saying that this can absolutely solve all of our problems. It definitely cannot pinpoint the problem in the field. But what it can do is to give us some leads about areas within the field with higher probability of infestation, so we can use our very current resources more effectively and more efficiently. But for now, I'm just going to use this in greenhouses, because it's a little bit easier for us to control the environment. It's not as variable in open field. And who knows, maybe later on, we can come up with better sensors, we can come up with better models that allow us to predict the infestation areas in the field with higher probability. And with that, I would like to thank all those people who either financially or intellectually helped me throughout this project, namely my research committee, Dr. Murray Eisman, Dr. Robert Zammer from the Department of Statistics, Gerhard Gies, SFU, Dave Errett, and Eduardo Hovell. My big troopers of student assistants, without them it was absolutely impossible to do whole things, the plant suppliers and the project sponsors, and Sir Quissy Greenhouse Growers, Investment Agriculture Fundraising of BC, and British Columbia Innovation Council, and lots of national and international consultants that I had. And I can have your questions now. Yes. So the question is, can we catch the volatile early enough before we can see it? Well, practically speaking, in the laboratory, I could detect the volatiles moments after I put the cabbage looper on my tomato. It's different for different pests, though. First thing, I had different chemical profiles for different pests on different plants, even on the same plant. For spider mites, for example, it took something about 12 to 24 hours until you can detect something. But for cabbage looper, it was a little bit faster because the type of the mechanical damage that it applies was different. But the thing is, we're sort of limited to our tools. And as scientists, you can go as far as your tool can go. With Xenos, I had the ability to detect compounds at the level of part per trillion. I could detect 1 nanogram of mass change with the SAW detector of the Xenos, something that was not possible with the normal gas chromatograph. So there might be something that you just couldn't detect. That's why I said, in future, if we come up with more precise tools, chances are that they can see things that they don't see now. Did that answer your question? Thank you. All right, thank you so much.